Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, it is that special time of year. Over the next several editions of the Three Martini Lunch, all through the end of the rest of this year, we will be going through our year-end awards, McLaughlin style. So a lot of different awards to go through. We'll wrap it up on December 30th with our Person of the Year, Turncoat of the Year, and our own very personal New Year's resolutions. I hope you have your martini glass ready and are ready to roll here.
I do. I am ready and can't wait to jump in. People at home are welcome to, I'm sure they're already yelling at this podcast as we name certain people and overlook certain others. So, if you wish to email in suggestions or ideas, I certainly have no objection to that. Maybe we'll put some of this on our other site. So
there you go.
But without further ado, ready when you are, Greg.
All right. Well, let you lead off, Jim. Most underrated figure of the year.
Sure. It's pretty open-ended, but I was trying to think about someone who is having a big impact on the news and particularly the world of the campaign and not necessarily getting a lot of attention for it. And I realized that Bret Baier of Fox News Channel, he tends to make some big news when he interviews candidates. I mean, most notably, his interview with Romney probably about a couple of weeks ago just kind of really ruffled Romney's feathers. Romney got very, kind of snippy with him. Before then, Obama got very snippy during the interview. I would argue that I don't think we can really point to any good examples of Bret Baier being biased or unfairly tough with anyone in particular. I think he's just as tough to everybody, which is particularly what a newsman is supposed to be. He is described, somebody said he's a Boy Scout with a very sharp knife, which is like a very good way of describing, because he's not cantankerous or over the top or a loudmouth like O'Reilly or Geraldo or anything. He just asks really tough questions, and I think he said that his secret is that he listens to his interviewees, which is always good. And oh, by the way, Greg, he is all of 41 years old, which is disturbing because it makes me feel unaccomplished. And,
join the club.
So, Bret Baier, my martini glass is raised to you. I think a very big year in 2011. I wouldn't be surprised if he has another big year in 2012 as well.
Yeah, I agree. I know there were some folks who weren't quite sure what to expect when he took over for Brit Hume on the Special Report show, but he's done a fantastic job by all accounts and kind of brought the younger audience into that program as well. He's done a good job as a moderator and in conducting the big interviews. I agree there. Mine is actually one I think you picked last year, and that's Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, who has just basically become a guy who everyone wanted to have their picture taken with. We talked about it during the Virginia State campaign earlier this year, or even the Democrats who happen to have a photo in passing at some, Virginia Governor's Mansion Christmas party or something, and then slap that all over their campaign literature because Governor McDonnell had 69% approval rating heading into the election. This is a guy who helped to support more Republicans coming into the Virginia State House. They've now got a dominating majority, I think, of like 70-30 or something in the state assembly. And even in a badly gerrymandered Senate map, he still, with his popularity and helping to recruit some quality candidates, got Republicans a tie, which means the Republican lieutenant governor breaks the ties in the Senate. And so a guy who's very quietly become a superstar. He'll probably get some attention from whoever the Republican nominee is. That's a possible running mate since Virginia governors are limited to one term. But this is a guy who has definitely not only lived up to the huge landslide victory he had in 2009, but actually built on that. He's balanced the budget in a state that was badly in the red before he came into office. And so there's really not a lot of bad things to say about Bob McDonnell. There's a lot of good to say, and he's getting almost no national attention for it.
Yeah, and it's kind of striking. I think, he's not a Chris Christie type who gets into verbal smackdowns with critics. He is very much kind of a soft-spoken, gentlemanly type. He is firm in what he believes, and I think, one of the things I periodically will say is that as my governor, I don't hear from him terribly often, and when I do, it's usually good news. He's usually announcing some company has relocated to Virginia. It feels like there's doing one at least once a week, and sometimes more often than that. So unsurprisingly, when you're constantly touting great new economic news, people feel warm and fuzzy towards you, and I think deservedly so. Now, I think it's safe to say if he ends up being vice president-elect McDonnell this time next year, then perhaps he, I think we say he was wildly underrated, and I think that we can say we saw him first. So a very good pick, Greg, and, it's interesting. I can jump to our most overrated figure, and this is a category that gives me no pleasure to name this person in this category. But I'm going to put Texas Governor Rick Perry as the most overrated figure. I was among those who had heard nothing but good things about him during his governorship and thought that this was a potentially a very strong figure and perhaps exactly what the Republican Party needed in its 2012 quest, and he has been a disappointing candidate. I think he's, you know, everyone knows the debate performances. Everybody knows the awkward pauses and the idea that he kind of gets tired towards the end of the debates. It's just kind of fascinating that in an era, a cycle in which economics is so central and job creation and unemployment is so central, a guy who has a very strong record in this area can't seem to get traction. He was ludicrously antagonistic to the base in discussing his scholarship program for the children of illegal immigrants. And it's just been one flub after another, and I'm very disappointed. He seems like he's a very strong governor. For whatever reason, he's just not translating that to success at the president, as a presidential candidate. You know, it's just kind of a lesson that sometimes, you know, stepping from a state stage to a national stage is a lot harder than it looks, and sometimes people just can't make that jump.
Jim, there's three reasons why the Perry campaign has been unsuccessful to this point in the polls. One is that he has had poor debate performances. Two is that he antagonized folks, as you said. And the third is
That was good, Greg. I did not see that coming, and I'll let you come back in a couple of days. We can hold the online poll of what that third reason was.
Exactly.
But I got to tell you, at least eight Supreme Court justices would agree with you on that. So.
That's right. My most overrated figure of the year is one Donald J. Trump, head of the Trump Corporation, perennial fixture on Fox News, and a guy who has toyed repeatedly with running for president. He's clearly not going to do it because he knows he can't win and his ego can't handle that, which is the same reason he decided to pull out of his own debate since only two people agreed to come. Now, of course, he's throwing out the idea of another third-party challenge. He discredited himself in the minds of many people by basically staking his only issue in his earlier consideration of a run to the birth certificate issue. And this is a guy who is clearly in it only for the attention to himself. If, in fact, he convinces a few people not to vote for Obama, I guess that's good in the long run. But for any Republican presidential candidate to hitch their wagon too closely to Donald Trump is a huge mistake.
He is an overrated figure, and I think, as we used to say in you know, some big college basketball fights, I can't believe he's rated at all. I can't believe this guy has any influence in the political arena. He seems like this relentless self-promotion machine. I'm glad that he ended up not moderating a debate. There's still, you know, who knows if he decided to jump in third party. Don't go away mad, Donald Trump. Just please go away.
All right, on to our third martini and our third award for this opening edition of the awards ceremony for the Three Martini Lunch this year, and that is Most Honest. Last year, both of us selected New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and Jim, I don't know if you're giving him a repeat win. I am going with a guy who is running for president, and I certainly don't agree with him on everything, but with all these folks who are trying to, like, test poll and try and cozy up to as many different people by nuancing their positions as possible, you got to respect Ron Paul for being up there and saying exactly what he believes. Some of it, you're vigorously nodding your head. That's exactly right. And other issues, you're up there saying, I can't believe that's the same guy who had just said the perfect thing on having to do with the size and scope of government when he starts talking about Iranian nukes and so forth. But I give the guy credit. He doesn't try and modify his message for different audiences. He knows what he believes. He throws it out there and lets the chips fall where they may.
Obviously sucking up to the Ron Paul fans today, Greg. Very well. No, you know, I will observe that my attitude towards Ron Paul has shifted a bit since 2008. I think he is, you know, particularly as I read more about the Federal Reserve, even if I don't agree with every aspect of his criticism, I feel, you know, he was talking about the lack of wisdom he saw in the Federal Reserve and the, you know, bad decisions he saw over there long before it was cool in the last cycle. So perhaps in this and monetary policy and couple other areas, I think it's safe to say the Republican Party has grown more, if not isolationist, perhaps more skeptical of foreign intervention. I think Libya illuminated that this year. That perhaps Ron Paul is a bit more ahead of the curve than we might have expected. And if Ron Paul starts talking about aliens invading, I think by about 2015 they'll be scheduled to arrive. So pay attention to Ron Paul, even if you don't always agree with him. I think that's fine. It was talking about most honest figure, and I thought about somebody who you know, tries to assess candidates in a balanced way, doesn't tout anyone as perfect, doesn't tout anybody as irredeemable, somebody who tries to call him as he sees him and takes his lumps, whatever the response is. And as much as I'd like to nominate myself, Greg, I'm going to nominate the columnist George Will, who looks at every one of this person, the people in this field, has written critical columns about just about everybody. He also doesn't trash anybody. I mean, he's you know pretty rough on Newt Gingrich recently. I don't know where George will feel, you know, who he's going to end up ultimately endorsing or touting, and he may not endorse anybody. I know his wife is working for Perry, but I think you know it's not like he's pulled punches on Perry either, which maybe makes some you know silent dinners in the Bill household. But bottom line being, I understand if you're a Republican and you want to jump on a bandwagon and you want to feel enthusiastic about your guy, but I'm not sure it does the Republican Party or conservatism or anybody any good to pretend that somebody is something that they're not. So it's not like you can argue that Mitt Romney is this remarkably consistent conservative. It's not like you can argue that Newt Gingrich is a calm, direct, determined, stable guy who doesn't jump from topic to topic and who's, you know, results oriented. Or that his mouth is predictable, or that he's disciplined, or any one of these other things. You know, it's not like you can say Perry is a masterful debater. These guys are who they are, and I think it's probably best to see them as a mix of strengths and weaknesses, and evaluate them as all right. What combination is going to be best for the party, best for the movement, and best for America in 2012? And so I think I like the Will style for this, and so that's my that's why I nominated him as the most honest figure of the past year.
All right. Three awards already handed out. We've got five more of these sessions to go, so make sure you join us again on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim, have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday. Everyone, please have a wonderful, safe, and very Merry Christmas.